احمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. Tonight's Tarawih, we recited, we heard in the Quran, the Tarawih Salah, the remaining of Surah An-Nur and Surah Ash-Shu'ara and Surah Furqan. In Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many ahkamat, many injunctions, especially that which pertains to the family life. Allah talks about entering the home, the manner, the etiquette of entering the home. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. So the etiquette and the adab, when you enter your home, or enter anybody's home, you want to enter somebody's home, you are first required to take permission, make salam. In other words, you go to the person's home, you knock on the door, you press the bell, you make salam, and then you seek permission. You seek permission once, if there's no reply, a second time, if there's no reply, then a third time. After this, permission is not granted, you should return. It happens sometimes somebody is busy. He may be there, he's preoccupied, he's got some important matters to see to, he is not in the mood of entertaining any guests. He's busy with his family, with his wife and children. He's got a lot of work he has to accomplish. Perhaps the Maulana got a bayan to prepare, so he's busy. Sometimes somebody is not well. He's sick. He's got a fever, he's got a flu. He cannot come to the door. He doesn't want to see anybody. He's not in the mood. So he's got all the right not to let anybody inside and give him permission. Now our job is to go there and seek permission. Permission is not granted. Don't barge into the house. Don't start knocking on the door and banging on the door. Or then you take out your cell phone, you start ringing the person inside. And we see the car is there, he must be inside, or they must be inside. This is not the etiquette and adab of Islam. Islam is such a beautiful, simple religion. Allah teaches us how to visit a friend or a family person. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and went to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knocks on the door and he makes salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, who is it? So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala says, me, it's me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what me, I. فَكَأَنَّهُ كَرِهَ. Jabir himself reads the hadith, he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked this. In other words, Nabi then called him and said, Jabir, you should say it is Jabir. I'm so busy, you saying I, who is, I don't know who's me. How you expect me to know who is there? The person is busy. He's got some important work. Now we are outside and we say it's me, open the door. These are all simple etiquettes of Sharia. This makes a person insan. We want to be walis of Allah. Inshallah we'll reach wilayat, we'll get wilayat. But first let us become insan. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا فِي أَحَدًا. If you don't find any person, then come away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, knocks on somebody's door, one sahabi's door, makes salam. That sahabi from inside made salam very quietly, very softly. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not hear him. Knocked on the door once, second time, third time, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving. This sahabi came out, he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving his house. Ya Rasulullah sallam, I'm here. He said, why didn't you open the door if I made salam? You didn't reply. Al-isti'zanu salath. Hadith, Nabi Sam says that you take permission three times. If no permission is granted, then you should return. So I'm going back. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I made salam. I gave jawab to your salam. I gave very softly. So Nabi Sam said, why you gave the jawab so softly? He said, because I wanted you to make salam again and again to me. I was enjoying your salam upon me. any case, these were Sahaba, these were Rasulullah, this was the bond they had. The etiquette, the adab is when we go to somebody's home, knock on the door, make salam, and seek, tell who is it, seek permission. Permission is granted, then in a nice way you enter the house. And when you go to some person's house, if the door is open, then don't look into his house. Ulama write that these verses come very closely. Allah talks about zina, Allah talks about lowering the gazes, Allah talks about making salam. All these things is all adab of Islam. In other words, if you're going to contrary to what Allah asks you and you look into somebody's house, perhaps his wife might be going past, her hair might be open, some part of her body might be revealed, she didn't expect some stranger to come. Now you had a glance at his wife. How angry that person would become. You were not supposed to look into his home, that is his privacy. Ulama also say that when we go and to our own homes, doesn't mean that we are the owners of our homes, we can just enter our homes. Knock on the door first. Perhaps our wives have got some friends there. They're also in hijab and parda, but obviously they sit inside the house. There's privacy now. They're not expecting the husband or the man to come, or any menfolk to enter. So we just open the door. We see all those women sitting. Now they're all running for the hijab. Simple. Sharia tells you, going to your own house also, knock on the door, make salam, and then enter. Like this, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about lowering the gazes. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lowering the gazes is not only an injunction upon men. Allah also talks about وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Even the females, but generally we find the lust, the shahwat of a man is far greater than that of a woman. They are able to control their desires far greater than men. And therefore Allah gives this command to men first, that lower your gazes. Sahaba was sitting on the road, and they were having a gathering, some meeting, some discussions were taking place. Nabi Sallam said, no, you should not sit in the middle of the road, sit on the side. And Sahaba said, no, we have to have these gatherings. And the ulama and scholars write, in fact, in some riwayat is mentioned, the gatherings of Sahaba on these road sides were not any dunya discussions that were taking place. They were deeni discussions. Sometimes Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala would come on the side of the road or some area, and he would show the Sahaba, هَكَذَا كَانَ wudu رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You should make wudu practically and show them this is the wudu of Rasulullah. They would talk deen. They had no time for dunya. Nevertheless, Nabi Sallam said, if you have to have these gatherings, then have it on the side. And فَأَعْتُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ. Give the road its right. Sahabas, what are the rights of the road? First thing Nabi Sallam said, غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ. That lower your gazes. You are walking on the road. An accidental glance. You suddenly look at some pretty face, some pretty woman. Rasulullah says, immediately turn your gaze away and don't look for the second time. فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى. The first one, okay, it is for you, meaning it's an accidental glance. You do not expect any person to come pass by. Suddenly your glance fell on her. Now you have no right to look for a second time. Don't say, I'm just curious, just want to know what she looks like. This is shaitan. And don't think the first glance that falls, now you stare at her and look as much as you want and fulfill your desires, heart desires, and say the first one is okay, it's for me. No. That's also shaitan, that's nafs. These are important matters. Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Dhamad Barakatuhu, repeatedly in this masjid, years, bayans upon bayans, he used to say that if a person can control his gaze, then inshallah he'll become the wali of Allah. Because this is a malady of society today. All of us, most of us have this problem. And therefore we have to control our gazes. The scholars write, the first is nadra. What is nadratun? Nadratun means casting a lustful glance. This is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I'm not mistaken, it comes in Bayhaqi. Inna nadra sahmun min sihami ibn Isa masmum. That casting a lustful glance is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. It's a poisonous arrow. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا Whosoever discards casting a lustful glance at any woman, غير محرم woman. Obviously, look at your wife with how much of lust you want. Long as it's not whilst you are fasting. What we do, we look, cast lustful glances at other women, and those images and those pictures then come into our lives, and whilst making salat also, the same picture will come. Whilst making sajda, the same picture will come. Whilst driving the car, there's nothing for us to see what kind of car and who's the driver of the car. This is Shaitan's chal. This is his makar, his farayn. You see, what a beautiful Audi, what a beautiful Mercedes. Just see who's driving the car. So initially you just want to see who's driving the car. Perhaps you might see the fingers of that woman. You might see the face. If she happens to be very beautiful, if she's attractive, now Shaitan will play in your mind. So your salat also be destroyed. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي This is Hadith Qudsi. Whosoever discards casting a lustful glance, Allah says, مَخَافَتِي out of fear for me. أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ Allah says, I will give him such an iman, the sweetness of which he will enjoy. Now he'll get halawate iman. One is iman a person has. But then he begins to have sweetness of iman. There's a long discussion of sweetness of iman. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah said that person who gets sweetness of iman in his life, inshallah, he will die with iman also. Because Allah is not such that after he gives you the sweetness of iman, that he snatch away your iman. So first it is nadratun. So a person looks at a woman, then it is khatratun. Khatra in Arabic is making afkar, thoughts. Now the thoughts will play on your mind. And now you'll think and you'll plan. After that will be khutwa. Now you'll take a step. Khutwatun means step. You'll begin to advance. And now you'll want to find out the cell number of that woman. Then you slowly start sending SMSs. First it might be a Jummah Mubarak suddenly. Then you get some response. Then Eid Mubarak. Then we know what happens after that. So khutwatun. Then it becomes khati'ah. Khati'ah means sin. If Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا Don't even go near zina. What is zina? Casting lustful glances. What are those things that takes a person to zina? Casting lustful glances. Smiling at the ghair mahram woman. Changing your whole accent. When it comes to the wife, it's common. All of us do this. Speak to the wife. I'm very busy. I just get this, get that. Suddenly another ghair mahram woman phones for some masala or some work or she comes to see the client or whatever it is or a patient. Suddenly your accent changes. If you only record that accent, we'll see how stupid we sound. We're traveling with our wife and we're looking at that woman. Sometimes the wife catches us out. They're not foolish. They know everything. They're just making sabr on us. Then suddenly we say, La hawla wa la quwwata, this woman shouldn't be driving. We should not be casting lustful glances. Put the blame on everybody else. This is shaitan in nafs. It's all simple ahkamat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Ghaddul Basr in the Quran, in the 18th para which you recited today. There are so many other important issues and masail about taking permission for young children. The children, when they should take permission to enter their own parents' rooms also. There are times when husband and wife require their privacy. So Allah even explains to parents to teach their children, these times you must take permission, knock on the door and then enter mummy or daddy's room. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Noor. Are we in Masjid al-Noor? May Allah give us His true Noor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in tahajjud time, when he stands up, he will say, Allahumma laka alhamd, anta nooru samawati wal ard. Allah, you are Noor, you are Noor, effulgence, light of the skies and the earth. There would be no light of the skies and the earth and the world would we see had it not been for the Noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who brightens, illuminates the skies, the earth, the heavens, everything that you see around. Otherwise, there will just be darkness and darkness. Beautiful example is given in the Quran. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ We have a niche in the wall. We put our kitab, we put some ink pot, whatever it may be. So an opening in the wall, it's called a niche. So in this niche, is a beautiful, crystal clear, shining, radiant like a star, a glass. a glass cylinder, absolutely crystal clear. And in this glass, there is a lantern or a candle that's burning. And the oil that is used to light up this candle is from the olive tree, which is such that the rays of the sun fall onto this tree. It is not such that this tree is blocked by anything. It is in an open field, and the rays of the sun, they fall onto this tree, and from this olive tree, the light is derived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this example and says, this is insan, and this is nish, this is man, and the glass cylinder which is shining and radiant and absolutely clear, that is his heart. The light that is burning inside is the light of iman and hidayat. And that is the light that Allah has placed into our hearts. So Allah talks about the purity of hearts. Allah talks about how He shines our hearts. Now the same pure heart, this qalb, and this light of iman, Quran, hidayat, guidance, what Allah puts into our heart, this illuminates and brightens our whole heart, through which we are able to decipher and make out right from wrong. Surah Furqan actually talks about, Furqan is another name for Quran. And what is Furqan? Al-fariqu bayna al-haqqi wal-batil. That criteria, or that thing which gives you the ability to judge between right and wrong. When a person has taqwa, in tattaqu Allah yaj'al lakum furqana. If a person adopts taqwa, then he'll be given that ability from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a right haq from batil. When sahabi of Rasulullah from Haditha radiallahu ta'ala was sleeping in the masjid, Nabi Sallam comes in the morning, wakes him up. Kayfa asbahta ya Haritha? How did you wake up? How do you feel this morning? He says, Ya Rasulullah, asbahtu mu'minan haqqa. I've woken up to be a genuine, true believer. Nabi Sallam says, for everything, likulli qawlin haqiqa, there must be a proof for any claim that you're making. What's the proof? How can you claim to be a genuine, pakka mu'min? He says, I have detached myself from the dunya. Azaftu nafsi ani dunya. I've broken myself away from the dunya. The whole day I'm fasting. Whole night in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, fakaanni, as though, I can see the people of Jannat enjoying the bounties of Jannat. In other words, the condition of his heart reached such a level, the nur we are talking about, such a level, that it was as though he could see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could see the people of Jannat enjoying the bounties. He says, it is as though I can see the people of Jahannam screaming and shrieking and yelling for help. Nabi Sallam said, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤُنْ نَوَّرَ اللَّهُ قَلْبًا. You are such a person whom Allah has lightened your heart. Allah has illuminated your heart. Falzam, hold steadfast on this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true effulgent, the true light which Allah ta'ala talks about in the Quran. Gunas will try and extinguish that light. Allah is giving us that light. Allah is making our hearts so pure and clean. Now by committing gunas, And following the footsteps of shaitan. Today the first ayat, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Because Allah says, do not, O believers, do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Shaitan commands evil. He makes you do morbid, evil deeds. He takes you to fahsha, munkar, things that Allah hates, Allah dislikes. He'll take you and He'll make you commit zina. He'll make everything look very nice first. Then once a person commits zina, it is mentioned in the hadith, when the two people are committing zina, man and woman, the iman of the person is taken out of his heart. Taken out. It hovers above their heads. As long as they are busy doing that, indulging in that haram act, iman comes out of their heart. Imagine if the person passes away then. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all these evil deeds. There are so many other ayats that come to mind. They are so beautiful ayats, really. We should make a firm intention that we should go to some reputable alim and learn tafsir of the Quran. Otherwise, as I mentioned yesterday also, our lives will pass away like this. We don't even know what Allah has got. Really, when a person just ponders over the ayat upon ayat upon ayat, your mind just drifts, you are carried away. Allah's kalam is so beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the haqiqat, understanding. May Allah help us to live a clean, a pure life. We'll make mistakes, we are insan. No person is ma'asum beside Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, as I mentioned yesterday. We will make mistakes, tawbah, istighfar, tawbah, istighfar, tawbah, istighfar. We will falter. It is a lifelong struggle with nafs and shaitan. Sometimes they will put us down, sometimes we will be able to put nafs down. But right till the end, shaitan will try right till the end. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah, story is very famous. That people are making talqeen, say, la ilaha illallah, on his deathbed. He's saying, la, la, la. They're worried. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah, is such a great scholar, alim, sheikh. And he's saying, la. When he came to his senses, then they asked him, Hazrat, what are you saying? He's saying, I'm not saying la to the kalima. I'm saying la to shaitan, because shaitan tells me, Ahmad, you've won, you've beaten me. He's saying, la, not as yet, until I don't breathe my last, I haven't beaten you. And that is what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah was telling shaitan. So shaitan will try right till the last. But remember, we have Allah with us. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam read to me, inna ma'ya rabbi sayhadeen. He says, Allah is with me, Allah will guide me. So we shouldn't lose hope. Allah is with us, and Allah will definitely guide us if we have that ikhlas, sincerity. Ya Allah, you are Hadi. You guide me. Wa idha maritu fahuwa yashfin. Also tonight we read, when I'm sick, it's Allah who gives me the cure. Cure not only for other physical illnesses, but the spiritual or the disease of the heart that we have. Allah gives shifa for that also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the haqiqat wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu laka shukru kullu la nusi thana'un alayk. Anta kama asnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, we read in the ayat of the Quran today. Yawma la yanfu'u malu wa la banun illa man atallaha bi qalbin salim. That on the day of Qiyamah, a person's wealth, a person's children will not avail him, except that person who comes with a qalbi salim, a pure, clean heart, that is free from any type of shirk, kufr, nifaq, any type of hasad, any type of malice, any type of love of dunya. Oh, may Allah give us a qalb saleem, ya Allah. Give us a pure, clean heart, ya Allah. Ya Allah, brighten our hearts, ya Allah. Brighten our hearts, ya Allah. Brighten our faces, ya Allah. Make us see right, make us do right, make us walk towards right, make us speak right, ya Allah. Make us do those things which are haq and hidayat, ya Allah. Protect us from becoming gumrah and misguidance, ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't make us a means of misguidance, ya Allah. Ya Allah, unite our hearts, ya Allah. Ya Allah, hum kamzor, hum zaif, ya Allah. We are battling, ya Allah. It is not easy, ya Allah, to overcome our nafs and shaitan, ya Allah. Except, illa ma rahim rabbi. Only if you have rahmah upon us, ya Allah. We require your special rahmat, ya Allah. Your special nazar rahmat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, that one glance of rahmat will be sufficient for us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, it will be sufficient for our salvation, ya Allah. It will be sufficient for our najat in the akhirat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beseech your help, ya Allah, your assistance. Ya Allah, you shower us with your mercy and kindness, ya Allah. You are so kareem, you have helped us so much, my Allah. There were times in our life that, ya Allah, we had problems that were melting us, ya Allah. That we were shaken, ya Allah. We were crying, ya Allah. You removed those problems, ya Allah. And now we forget you after that, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are so, ya Allah, we are so disobedient here. Ya Allah, we don't appreciate your bounties, ya Allah. We are ungrateful servants, my Allah. Oh Allah, you cover our faults, ya Allah. Give us that strength, ya Allah. Strengthen our iman, strengthen our hearts, ya Allah. Make us become like Sahaba. They were far beyond what we can be, ya Allah. But ya Allah, give us some of those qualities, ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to emulate and imitate the life of Rasulullah s.a.w. Make his true Muhammad come into our lives, ya Allah. Make us, help us to make up our minds, ya Allah. Ramadan after Ramadan has passed, ya Allah. Days upon days and years in our life have passed so rapidly, ya Allah. We don't know when Maut will come to us, ya Allah. Before Maut comes to us, ya Allah, help us, ya Allah, to cleanse ourselves, ya Allah. Help us to pour the water of Tawbah onto our filthy hearts, ya Allah. Oh my Allah, be kind upon us, ya Allah, and our family members, our parents, our children, our neighbors, the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you shower your kindness upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Guide us, ya Allah. We need your guidance, ya Allah. Give us your special hidayat, ya Allah. Your special hifazat, ya Allah. We don't deserve your bounties, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't deserve any of your bounties, ya Allah. But ya Allah, we are asking you, ya Allah. We have raised our hand before you. We acknowledge that you are the only person who has provided all his bounties.
You're the only person who can forgive us, my Allah. In this night of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know when it is a big night, when it is a great night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are not bound by time and day, Ya Allah. You have given us this occasion for our benefit, my Allah. Oh, my Allah. You are high and kareem, Ya Allah. You are ever living, Ya Allah. We are going to die, Ya Allah. We have to face you on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Don't embarrass our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of our amal on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Make it be seen, when he sees us, he must become happy. When he sees our amal, he must become happy. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allah, whatever desires our brothers have, Ya Allah, they've come tonight, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the desires, Ya Allah. Whatever problems they have, Ya Allah, remove all the difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those whose children are not well, Ya Allah, give them complete shifa. Those whose parents are not well, or family members, Ya Allah, those who got cancer, whatever it may be, Ya Allah, you are Shafi, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you've got cure, Ya Allah. Doctors may fail, Ya Allah, but you do not fail. You are Hakim, you know why you have given us those illnesses, Ya Allah. We remove that pain and suffering, Ya Allah. All the marhumin, grant them jannatul firdaus. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun ala al-mursaleen, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.